forever by my side.
Hey, you're listening to 8:30 a.m. KSDP in Sign Point, Alaska.
Garbage released their 2021 album, No Gods, No Masters, right as the country was beginning to recover from the pandemic. But it's not the first time the band have released an album during a crisis. In 2001, they put out their album, Beautiful Garbage, just 3 weeks after the September 11th attacks. And suddenly, frontwoman Shirley Manson says the radio stopped playing their music.
When the world is feeling jittery, they don't want to hear from people like me. They want nice girls to dress up and be sexy and cute. And smile a lot, and just in general, make everyone feel like they're having a good time.
Garbage release a new album this Friday, so we're looking back at that 2021 session where Shirley talked about how expectations like that have tugged at her for most of her career, until she found a new confidence in her mid-40s.
When you realize you're no longer at the mercy of people's judgments, criticisms, reviews, there's something really remarkably freeing about that.
An encore with Garbage. Today, I'm Raina Duris. This is World Cafe. If you have your phone nearby, maybe take a quick second right now and give World Cafe a follow on Instagram at World Cafe or on TikTok at the_world_cafe. You can also find us on your favorite podcast app so you can listen anytime, anywhere you like. Here's Blues Traveler with Hook.
You're doing to me, this MTV is not for free. It's OPC, it's killing me. So desperately I'll sing to the
This is an Encore World Cafe. I'm Raina Duris. Garbage have a new album out this Friday called Let All That We Imagine Be the Light. So today we're revisiting their 2021 session on the show when I spoke to Shirley Manson about their album No Gods, No Masters. Enjoy. Maybe there are bands you remember hearing for the very first time, an artist or a band that you heard that opened your eyes, maybe shifted your perspective. For me, Garbage is one of those bands. When I first heard Garbage, I was a 10-year-old kid growing up in a house where classic rock was everything. A lot of guys with guitars. And then I got my own CD player and a mix CD with this song on it. That's a song from Garbage's debut 1995 album. It is called Queer, and when I heard it, my mind was blown. There was this fierce, sultry, kind of angry and dangerous and forthrightly sexual woman making a kind of rock music that I really hadn't heard before. That debut album made the band and frontwoman Shirley Manson global stars. But despite the confidence of their music, that fame wasn't always easy. Garbage are still making music. They just released a new album called No Gods, No Masters. And along with live performances of songs from that album, Shirley Manson joins me for a conversation about their music, the band's journey, and her own growth as an artist and as a woman in an industry that has been famously hostile towards women. That's all on the way. First, a performance of the title track. It's Garbage, No Gods, No Masters.
Nothing.
Performed live for World Cafe, No Gods, No Masters, the title track from the new album from Garbage. I'm Raina Duras. I am thrilled to welcome my guest today, Garbage frontwoman Shirley Manson. Shirley, welcome to the World Cafe.
Thank you, Raina.
Let's catch up on the record. No Gods, No Masters, it's your seventh album. That number is significant when it comes to the content of the album. So what is it about the number seven?
Well, obviously, there's lucky number seven. And then I looked it up on Google one day. I was bored. I don't know. I was thinking, well, let me look up number seven. And it said it was all about signified rejuvenation and reinvention. And I just thought, what a wonderful, you know, meaning behind this seventh record of ours. And then I got into the seventh deadly sins and the sorrows. And I just thought it applied to this record in a funny way, because we are talking about many sins by mankind on the record. It's somewhat biblical in tone, particularly the first track, No Gods, No Masters, which is a retelling of Noah's Ark.
The seven sorrows, the seven virtues, the seven deadly sins, those are religious concepts.
Yes.
And that's something that you kind of left when you were pretty young. Why are those concepts still so powerful?
Well, because organized religion is still so powerful in the world. I mean, it's something we cannot escape. You know, laws are made based on, I think, somewhat strange, you know, ideologies that come from a multitude of different faiths. And, you know, I grew up in a religious household. My father was my Sunday school teacher. I was indoctrinated from a very early age in the Scottish Protestant Presbyterian Church. And it's something that I was very passionate about as a child. And then as I got older into my teens, I started to be very disillusioned by what I considered to be the hypocrisy of organized religion, not the tenets of faith, but the practicing of the so-called practicing of organized faith.
Well, yeah, there's that line in No Gods and Masters, save your prayers for yourself because they don't work and they don't help, which is a pretty powerful lyric.
Well, just, you know, I feel like people always send their prayers whenever anything awful happens, and without action, it's a waste of time, really.
You guys wrote and made this album right before the pandemic lockdowns, but there are lots of lyrics and themes in here that do feel very relevant to everything that's happened over this past year. I think, though, there's this like idea that some people have that before the pandemic, everything was fine, and then suddenly things changed. But, you know, that's not true. There was tons going on before the pandemic hit that led to how intense this year has been. What were you observing before March 2020 while you were writing and making this album? What was fueling what we hear on this record?
You know, I'm glad you said that, because yes, the album touches on a lot of different themes, some of which we have talked about our entire career.
Yeah.
It just so happens that these themes that we're discussing on this record coincides and collides with a global conversation that's occurring. And that, I guess, is how what has determined that this record be a prescient one. I've been increasingly concerned about misogyny and sexism and homophobia and xenophobia, climate denial. But the thing that really has set me on fire in the latter part of my 40s and now into my 50s has been my belated, and one of the greatest regrets of my whole life is that I was really blinded to systemic racism. And I have become slowly aware more and more of what is going on and what Black and Brown and Indigenous peoples are facing in this world. I'm ashamed that it's taken me this long, but now that I see what I see, I cannot unsee it. And it has been a burning obsession in me, you know, ever since actually I read about the murder of Trayvon Martin and the subsequent joke of a trial that ensued following his murder. And it just set something alight in me, and I started paying attention to what was going on. And I haven't been able to turn away ever since. And that is definitely something that I was talking about in my private life a lot whilst making this record, and then it poured out during the making of this record.
It can be a challenging thing, I guess, to explore topics like racism when you are a white person talking about it, right? Without centering yourself. Like, what were you thinking about that kind of stuff when you were making this?
You know, you're absolutely right. It is very difficult because, of course, as white people, we've been taught that everything centers around us, and to remove ourselves from the conversation is complicated. We are inexperienced in doing so with skill and grace. I figured out that, you know, I will make mistakes. I will not always use the right language. I will probably offend hundreds of thousands of people the world over, perhaps by centering myself or whatnot. I'm doing my best. It's all I can really do. I want to play a role in helping unpack, you know, and I understand white people feel really uncomfortable talking about race because we're all paranoid that we're going to get cancelled or we're going to get criticised. And I think, yeah, we probably will get, you know, cancelled or criticised, but that is nothing compared to what, you know, Black, Brown and Indigenous peoples are facing. And I'm willing to, you know, take a hit or two rather than sit there and say nothing and do nothing, because I am utterly sickened at what I have been discovering as I've tried to educate myself more and more about the Black experience.
I'm speaking with Shirley Manson of Garbage on World Cafe today. We're going to hear you perform another new one. It is called Wolves. What can you tell us about this song before we hear it?
This is really just about the struggle that I think every human being has in their life, where they're trying to figure out, who am I going to be today? Am I going to be a good person? Am I going to be a grumpy person? Ever since I rescued a dog, I have learned so much about trying to be a better person in the world. And because I've wrestled with the dark side of my personality my whole life, and my dog has taught me innumerable lessons. And this song is about just exactly that. Like, who are we going to be today? Let's try and do our best to be kind.
God.
You just heard Garbage performing their song Wolves, a live recording they made for World Cafe. That song is on their latest album, No Gods, No Masters. I'm speaking with Shirley Manson of Garbage today. Aside from this album, you also host a podcast called The Jump, where you interview other musicians. You've been doing it for about 2 years. How has interviewing other people changed how you think as an interview subject?
Well, first of all, I sit in awe when I'm being interviewed by someone who I know has put a lot of work into their prep. And I never noticed, I never was even aware that somebody had to prep before. So I definitely have a lot more humility and gratitude for people like you, for what you do. It's not easy, and I'm not very good at it yet. I'm getting better, but I've had to learn fast, and it's been a really interesting, fascinating experience. But to sit down with people that I really admire and who are masters, absolutely maestros at what they do, it has been profound.
I listened to an episode of your podcast yesterday. You interview Liz Phair in the one I listened to, and there's this part of the conversation where she talks about how she never expected to have to perform the songs that she wrote for her first album in front of anybody, and your reaction to it is total disbelief. When you were starting out, what did you think being a musician would be like?
I don't know what I thought it would be like, but I definitely thought the musician's job is to communicate with other people and seek connection. I never saw it as an academic exercise. I always saw it as a communal one. So I was surprised when she said that. I guess she wrote her first record from a sort of academic standpoint, which I kind of really admire. But then we're not all blessed with the brains that dear Liz is. I felt like that's the job. The musician has to, you know, carry an idea or a feeling and present it to someone else in the vague hope that they will say, I too feel like that. I hear you. I understand you. I see you. And then the loneliness dissipates for a minute.
Garbage was your big break. You were in bands before that. But when you were asked to join Garbage, if the ghost of music's future had appeared and said, Shirley, do you think you'll still be doing this decades from now? What would you have said?
I would have been really in disbelief. I mean, even now thinking about after the first two records, if somebody had said, you guys will still be making records, you'll be in your 50s and you'll be releasing your seventh record, I would have been astounded. And I, quite frankly, I'm still astounded. I mean, the fact that I'm sitting here talking to you guys today is astounding to me, because women in their 50s don't get this kind of opportunity very often. There's been one generation of women ahead of me, which would be my heroes, Patti Smith, Chrissie Hynde, Debbie Harry, Stevie Nicks, people like that. They are the first women in history to have careers in their 70s. That's never been seen before. So when I was growing up, I didn't think it was possible. And now, because of those amazing trailblazers, I know it is possible. And hopefully I will continue into my 70s, and those behind me will, you know, realize that they too can have long careers way past their so-called, you know, prime.
Yeah, I heard you say in an interview that you had no confidence until you were about 45, which surprised me because you sound so confident, you always have to me. So what changed?
You know, I guess what primarily changed was I failed so big in public, or at least in my mind, it was in public. So we were really, really successful through the 90s into the 2000s, and then we started struggling. And then finally we were dropped by Interscope Records, I think I was dropped in 2007. And at that point I was like, okay, I'm doomed. It's over for me. And I was listening to my feelings and listening to ideas that had been fed to me, you know, through a sort of patriarchal umbrella, I guess, from the minute I was born. And then I started to challenge that idea myself by just determining that I would continue to work as an artist, and irregardless of whether people wanted to hear from me or not, irregardless of whether I charted, irregardless of whether I was successful. And I continued on with the band, and we made records, and we enjoyed, you know, international audiences, and I realized I was autonomous. And yeah, when you realize you're no longer at the mercy of people's judgments, criticisms, reviews, whether they, you know, whether you chart or not, that there's something really remarkably freeing about that. And I just stopped worrying. I was like, oh, actually, I'm in the clear. I can just be creative. That's all I need to worry about. And I don't need to worry about anything else.
You're listening to an encore of my 2021 conversation with Shirley Manson of Garbage. I'm Raina Duras. After the break, a live recording of a 90s Garbage song. That's next on World Cafe. Welcome back to an Encore World Cafe. I'm Raina Duras. If you're just joining in, we are listening back to my 2021 conversation with Shirley Manson, the frontwoman of the band Garbage. When we recorded this, they just released their album No Gods, No Masters, but we're going back to the 90s for the next song you're going to hear. Shirley, you guys recorded a live performance for us of a song from your second album, 1998 version 2.0. The song is The Trick Is to Keep Breathing. Garbage has so many songs to choose from in your large discography. Why did you choose to do this one live for us?
Well, I guess we decided that it was really appropriate to the times. You know, we're living in such terrible times for so many people. I still am finding COVID lockdown a challenge, and I know it has been that way for so many. And of course, around the globe, we've lost millions and millions of people. And we felt this song in our discography has become a kind of an anthem. It's a big favorite in our fan base. And it's, of course, about suffering through something. And the idea is that if you just manage to keep, you know, you just keep going, you put one foot in front of the other, you just take the next initiated step and you'll get through it sooner or later.
This might be the song you need today. It is The Trick Is to Keep Breathing. Garbage on World Cafe.
Tell the world.
The trick is to keep breathing. Garbage performing a song from their 1998 album, Version 2.0, live for World Cafe. I'm Raina Duras, joined today by Shirley Manson of Garbage. We're recording this interview on June 16th, 2021. As you mentioned about COVID, you know, things are improving in America right now, but the pandemic is still a huge problem all over the world. You know, mentally, it's a huge problem for people, even in places where it's getting better. This is not the first time Garbage has released an album in the middle of a crisis. Your third album, Beautiful Garbage, came out shortly after 9/11. Did that experience influence how you felt about releasing an album now?
Ooh, that's a good question. You know, arguably, September 11th sunk our career, as well as, you know, as being one of the most abysmal, you know, occurrences during my lifetime, horrific and heartbreaking. One could argue that it really kind of was the nail in the coffin of our success at that time. You know, we had an incredible trajectory, and our record was due. We were due literally to leave, I think, Madison, Wisconsin, the day after September 11th. So September 12th, we were due to fly to Europe to start promoting this record. And of course, it was the plans were scuppered, and we never, ever recovered. That album basically was sunk before it even came out. And it scarred us deeply, and arguably we've never really recovered from that. But yeah, it has occurred to us that maybe, you know, current COVID is not the best climate in which to release a record. But at the same time, we've been sitting on it for so long, we couldn't really wait much longer. We wanted to get it out, and it was so prescient. You know, it really is a record of these times, and so I guess we felt, we should let it out. We have to let this horse run. You know, it's meant to be. It's meant to be heard right now.
You've made the observation before that the radio wouldn't play non-conforming women after 9/11, and I'd never thought about that before. I feel like when you said that, but you're right. It seemed like women musicians who weren't pop stars were suddenly largely shut out. So why do you think women bore the brunt of that?
Well, women always bear the brunt of you know, masculine frustrations, you know, patriarchal frustrations. It's often taken out on women. You just look at the statistics surrounding, you know, sexual and domestic violence. I mean, that'll give you some idea of when a man is feeling taxed. Some men, obviously not all men, but some men will take it out on women, or certainly anyone seemingly physically weaker than they. You know, but, you know, in terms of it being, you know, when you talk about women not being played on the radio, it wasn't an observation. It was actually just an experience, a real thing that happened to us. We were told point blank, no, such and such station will not play Garbage because they're playing No Doubt, or no, such and such station no longer plays Garbage because they play guitars and we are listening to Britney Spears and Jessica Simpson. I mean, these were things that were said to us. So it wasn't even an observation. It was, you know, my real experience. So it was crazy. You know, when the world is feeling jittery, they don't want to hear from people like me.
How do you mean?
I just don't think they want to hear from people rocking the boat. They want the girls to dress up and be sexy and cute and smile a lot and entertain a lot. And just in general, make everyone feel like they're having a good time. I know it sounds somewhat hysterical and somewhat broad, you know, broad stroked, which it is, because of course there's always exceptions to the rule. And there are many, many amazing people who desperately want to hear from loud mouthy opinionated peoples like me. But I'm talking generally speaking, you know. And that's why historically women have struggled to get on the board, why they've struggled to get into government, why they've struggled to hold executive positions, why they've struggled to, you know, get paid for doing the same work. It's nuts.
It is nuts. It really is nuts.
Yes, it really is. And I used to get angry when I was your age. I would be fuming about it. It would make me very angry. And now I'm beginning to find it sort of absurd. And I find that I'm really laughing when somebody is sexist and misogynistic. I'm like, whoa, dude, like, what is your problem? This is embarrassing.
Yeah. You know, I think that leads us very nicely into the last song that we're going to hear from the new album. It is called The Men Who Rule the World. First of all, for this live recording, the lyrics have been edited because it's the radio and there's some forceful language. Before we hear it, I understand it kind of came from a conversation you had on your podcast with George Clinton. How did George Clinton inspire this song?
Oh, my God. I mean, first of all, I do want to preface this with the fact that I am not bashing men. I love men. I am, like, I've been accused of doing this, and I just want to make sure for your listening audience, this is a song about power structures and dismantling power structures. It's not about battering on men, who I love and have worked with almost exclusively my entire career. I'm married to an amazing man. I have many, many men friends, et cetera, et cetera. The song is a modern retelling of Noah's Ark. So it's the idea that Noah's Ark, in this case, it's George Clinton's mothership that comes to Earth and rids the Earth of all this, of all the everything that's beautiful and divine and wonderful, and leaves behind on Earth all the vile, judgmental, cruel, violent, greedy scumbags. And me and George Clinton, in his mothership, head off into outer space to rebuild the world elsewhere in a different form. And it came from an interview I did for my podcast that you mentioned earlier called The Jump. And I interviewed George Clinton, who I think is just an extraordinary human being. It's unbelievable. I mean, if you ever get to meet him or you hear him speak, listen, because he's so wise and so generous and so smart. Anyway, I spoke to him for a couple of hours. I left the studio and went to our recording studio where the band were working on this track that has come into being as The Men Who Rule the World. And it sounds kind of like this weird fascist boots on the ground. It's really kind of defiant sounding. And I just had this vision that I'm convinced George Clinton sent me through the Ethernet. And I just went into the vocal booth and I went, I have an idea for this. Let me put it down. And out came the whole thing almost in its entirety. And I consider it a gift from George Clinton, and I'm very, very grateful to him for it.
Wow. Okay. It was impressive. The song impressed me to begin with, but to know it came out in one go is awesome.
Well, yeah.
This is The Men Who Rule the World. It's Garbage on World Cafe.
Money, money, money. It's money, money, money.
From their new album, No Gods, No Masters, that was Garbage with the Men Who Rule the World. I've been speaking with Shirley Manson of Garbage today. Shirley, thank you so much.
Raina, thank you so much. it's been a real pleasure. It really is. It's very wonderful to be on here today. And thank you and for your lovely questionings and all your research.
Well, I'd love to have you back anytime.
Thank you, Raina. Cheers.
I'm Raina Duras, back in a moment with more World Cafe. Before the break here on World Cafe, you heard an encore of my session with Garbage, a conversation with Shirley Manson. Garbage has a new album out this Friday called Let All That We Imagine Be the Light. Back into your music now with Father John Misty. She Cleans Up.
What is the one about the food? accident. Well, I presume you mean the condition of the silk kimono that didn't come cheap. Now, did you sit down in a crime scene? Just don't look between your knees. Man, it's certainly a look. Did she at least get the movie clean enough? Clean enough. She cleans up. Clean enough. Use your discretion so I don't have to use mine. I spent $100 on gas, baby. Let's just have a good time. How do you atone for your son? Now the rabbit's got the gun. She ain't joining you for dinner. Been on the menu too long. Clean enough. Clean enough. She cleans up. Clean enough. I know just how this thing ends. Hallelujah. Guess we gave a corner.
Funding for KSDP is made possible in part by the King Cove Corporation, operating the Fleets, Inn Hotel, the Heart Lakes Apartments, and the Last Hook Off Tavern. The King Cove Corporation is a proud sponsor of KSDP.